It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Thursday, October 15th. I'm Patricia Naft. The Colorado Supreme Court won't hear the case of two disputed chicken farms in Delta County. KVNF's Laura Pomisano reports.
On Tuesday, the court denied the appeal, thus upholding the lower court's decision that gave the operations a green light. In 2011, the County Board of Commissioners approved the Hotstedler Family Project for two hen houses, each with 15,000 hens outside of Hotchkiss. However, five residents in the area sued over the decision. They were concerned about health effects, air quality, and incompatibility with the neighborhood. In 2013, a district judge ruled in their favor, causing operations to cease at one of the sites. The other was not yet built. However, last year, an appellate court ruled in favor of the Hotstedler family and the county. The Colorado Supreme Court decision confirms that ruling. Bruce Hovde is a Delta County commissioner.
We are pleased with the outcome. It has been a very long ordeal for all concerned, especially the Hotstedlers.
Phone calls to residents who sued over the operation weren't returned before deadline. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
For many school districts, keeping simply everything in good repair can be a challenge. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
The Montrose School District just approved almost $80,000 worth of repairs. Between a sinking foundation and leaking roofs, the district's Director of Property Services, Philip Bailey, is going to be busy.
Yeah, we have about 58 buildings in our district, so roofs are going to be ongoing. About the time we get done finishing our very last roof and it's new, we'll go back to the first one and start all over again. So as far as needing repairs, we're always going to be roofing.
He says that the work needs to be done now before they're trying to fix leaks with snow all over the roofs. Bailey says it's a tough call looking at repairs that needs to be done, knowing when it's time to stop patching a building and make a new one. Columbine Middle School is one of those buildings. He's had his eye on it for a while.
We are pursuing the options of looking at that. We went for a grant in 2013 and were not awarded that. So we are looking at possibly positioning ourselves to go for a grant in this next grant cycle to replace that school. But the roofs on that school, you know, you have to do a certain amount. You can't, you know, you have to take care of the kids and give them a learning environment. We address those as we can and repair them as best we can.
Bailey's optimistic about securing funding for a new school this next grant cycle. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Hope West is hosting a ribbon-cutting ceremony for its new facility in Montrose today at 4 p.m. Nancy Hoganson is with the organization that offers hospice care, palliative care, and grief services.
We had for years lived in space that was donated by Montrose Memorial Hospital, for which we were very grateful, but we had outgrown the space honestly, several years ago, and so we were in need of a larger space so that we could hire more staff and expand services to meet the growing needs in our community.
Hoganson says Hope West raised $3 million to build the location across the street from the hospital.
We don't have beds in that facility, but we're able to have our staff there and host our adult bereavement groups, our child teen program, and all the different services we provided for the community, training for our volunteers, training for our staff. So it's been a wonderful facility.
Sand is a key ingredient in hydraulic fracturing, but breathing in too much of it can be deadly. Many companies in the industry have responded by changing the ways they handle frac sand. Reporting for Inside Energy, Anna Boyko-Wyrock of Rocky Mountain Public Broadcasting explains that the industry is the latest to confront the problems sand can cause for workers.
Simple chores are a big problem for Gilbert Banuelos.
You don't think pushing a broom like this could wear you out, but it does.
Within minutes of sweeping the patio, he has to stop. He retreats to a lawn chair and heaves in oxygen from a tank. An incurable lung disease is robbing him of air. Silicosis, or scarring inside the lungs. You can get it from breathing in too much dust that contains silica or quartz particles. After high school, Banuelos worked in a factory packing bags of minerals.
They had skylights up there, and you could see the lights coming in. You could just see all the dust inside the light of the sun.
Each year, more than 2 million people are exposed to silica, and around 100 people die from silicosis. Dr. Cecile Rose is a lung expert at National Jewish Health in Denver.
We've seen it in workers who are exposed to cement, especially grinding cement. And of course, now we're worried about the possibility that workers in the fracking industry and hydraulic fracturing may be at risk for silicosis because they're also exposed.
Fracking uses a lot of sand to prop open tiny fractures in rock underground so oil and gas can flow out. 5 years ago, researchers from the National Institute for Occupational Health and Safety studied silica dust in oil and gas workers. Researchers found nearly half the workers in the study were exposed to silica at higher than legally permissible levels. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration adopted the first limits on silica exposure back in 1971, 1,000 micrograms in a work day. It might seem small. It's about twice as much sand as can fit on President Roosevelt's nose on the face of a dime. But to many doctors, it's still too much. Dr. Cecile Rose.
I think for the current OSHA standard, the level of allowable exposure to respirable silica is high and does not protect many workers adequately.
2 years ago, OSHA tried to update the standard. Here's OSHA's David Michaels in an informational video.
Once this standard goes into effect, it will save hundreds of lives. It will prevent deaths from lung cancer, from silicosis, from kidney disease.
But many industry groups oppose the rules, including the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the American Petroleum Institute. The new rules haven't taken effect yet. In June, OSHA was still analyzing the more than 2,000 comments it received, 2 years after the proposal was published. In the meantime, some oil and gas companies are making changes on their own, using new technology to control frac sand dust. The Canadian-based well servicing company CalFrac has its own system.
Sandstorm. Rapid deployment proppant handling system.
Traditionally, trucks haul sand into a well site and then offload using hoses and compressed air. Fred Tony is CalFrac's president of U.S. operations.
When you're blowing and pressuring up, you know, and transferring this sand from three or four different positions on the locations, you know, it creates those dust clouds.
It also creates a lot of noise and takes up to 40 minutes per truckload. The Sandstorm system uses conveyor belts and big boxes that look like shipping containers. It doesn't need air pumps. It uses gravity. Tony says Sandstorm makes the process more efficient.
It takes us 9 to 12 minutes to unload using gravity in our conveyor systems. You go from 8 people on a normal sand delivery system to 3. It basically cost us less to operate in the end.
Covered systems like this one have only been around the past few years. Silicosis can take at least a decade to develop. No one knows how many workers have already been exposed since fracking started ramping up in 2003.
Deep breath in.
Hoping for a lung transplant, silicosis patient Gilbert Benuelos visits the hospital in Denver for regular lung tests.
3, 2, 1.
He blows as hard as he can into a tube. At the end, Benuelos is exhausted. Every year, it gets harder and harder to breathe. For Inside Energy, I'm Anna Boyko-Wyrock.
This story is part of a collaboration with the Center for Public Integrity. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.